in order to make its listeners better acquainted with the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in them, the Fetzer Broadcasting Company each week brings you Western Michigan at Work. This evening, our story concerns the Blood Brothers Machine Company of Allegan. Here to bring you tonight's story of Western Michigan at Work is your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. Several of the significant industries of Western Michigan are located in the smaller cities of the area. Previously in this series, we have visited several of these: the Wolverine Shoe and Tanning Company of Rockford, the Kirsch Company of Sturgis, Three Rivers Fur at Three Rivers, the Gerber Products Company of Fremont, and the Clark Equipment Company, which really got its start in Buchanan. In many cases, we have found only one major industry in a city. Such an industry provides the very lifeblood of the community. The bulk of the income from the sale of its product is paid out in the form of wages to workers, and they in turn contribute to the prosperity of retail stores, make possible good schools, support churches, and build altogether a happy community. Such an industry is the Blood Brothers Machine Company of Allegan. Blood Brothers is as vital to Allegan as the post office, the city newspapers, even the city government. It's part and parcel of the community life. It's not just one among many industries of comparable size, as it would be if it were located in a larger city like Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, or Battle Creek. Its employees' associations are important in the life of the whole community. Everybody in Allegan knows about Blood Brothers, and in some way, most of them are vitally concerned in its prosperity. So our story tonight is not just the story of an industry, it's the story of a community, or at least of one phase of community life. Around the turn of the century, three brothers bearing the peculiar name of Blood came to Kalamazoo from Boston. Along with them came Howard Blood, a nephew. The brothers started the manufacture of bicycles in Kalamazoo in the day when the bicycle was the fad, and before the day of the automobile. Apparently, these brothers were mechanically minded, for when they heard of automobiles, they set about to manufacture one of their own. In the early years of the automobile industry, that sort of thing was happening all across the land. Literally thousands of automobiles were made by small manufacturers. Not until later did the industry, after a period of consolidation, stabilize on a small number of leading makes. The Blood Brothers named their creation the Carnelian, after the name of the wife of one of the brothers. In 1914, the industry was moved to Allegan, and more than 100 of these Carnelian cars were turned out by the factory. At about the same time, the Alter was being manufactured in Grand Haven, the Austin in Grand Rapids, the Briscoe in Jackson, the Monroe in Pontiac, the Patterson in Flint, and the States in Kalamazoo, all makes of automobiles that, of course, now have disappeared from the highways. So Allegan had its Carnelian. It was built low, very light, and very fast. In 1915, a Carnelian was entered in the Indianapolis races and was driven by the noted auto racer Louis Chevrolet, whose name later, as you know, was given to a popular car. In the race, the Carnelian made 34 laps around the track and was in fourth position when valve trouble developed and Chevrolet was forced to quit. Making automobiles was, of course, expensive business. And when Blood Brothers had turned out about 100 automobiles, they ran out of money and had to suspend automobile manufacture. Before taking leave of the Blood Brothers, we should mention that Howard Blood, the nephew, went on to become president of the BorgWarner Corporation. Several of the manufacturers of early automobiles turned to making parts for those makes of cars which survived. The Blood Brothers Company did exactly this. They started making universal joints about 1915. The original design was for what is called the BW model by Blood Brothers. It was one of the first joints to be internally lubricated. Up to that time, most universal joints had a tin or leather covering which held the greases into the joint, and the internal lubrication of the Blood Brothers joint attracted wide attention. The BW joint is still being built in about 12 different sizes and is used particularly in industrial and marine services. For automobiles, this type of joint is now obsolete. These BW joints were all right for trucks when trucks were being operated on solid rubber tires and didn't exceed 15 or 20 miles an hour speed. From 1915 on and up to the end of the First World War, Blood Brothers prospered. They were recognized as a manufacturer of universal joints for the truck industry. The factory operated day and night during the war. Propeller shaft assemblies as well as universal joints were produced for these heavy-duty trucks. After the First World War, however, the industry went into a slow decline. Faster trucks demanded a new type of universal joint, and Blood Brothers stuck to the old models. In 1932, the company had only 25 employees. In 1933, a change of management took place, and from that date on, the growth of the company has been steady. Many new models of universal joints have been introduced, including the needle-bearing type, which has now become almost universally used in the automotive industry. Before going further, it might be well to explain just exactly what a universal joint is. Blood Brothers put it simply when they say that a universal joint is a contrivance to take power around corners. To put it a little more technically, the major purpose of a universal joint is to transmit power through an angle. The joint affects a connection between a driving and a driven shaft, which are not in perfect line. When shafts intersect at an angle, you need a single universal joint. When the shafts do not intersect, you need a double joint. The modern universal joint is patterned after the so-called hook coupling, invented back in the year 1675 for use in telescopes. This design was so sound that today's universals still employ the same fundamental principle, a connection from the driving member and a connection to the driven member. These two connections are assembled in a cross piece, a journal cross, which permits up and down, sideways, and rotating motion of the driven shaft. Kind of complicated, but that's the general idea. About the time Blood Brothers was undergoing a change in management, power farming was just getting underway in this country. Types of universal joints were first designed for the heavy truck industry, dump and hoist manufacturers. But Blood Brothers specialized in power farm machinery. Propeller shafts taking power from the tractor to the machines, such as combines, potato diggers, corn pickers, hay balers, mowers, rakes, and so on, were designed for and tested by all the larger farm equipment builders. Blood Brothers today are considered the largest builders of universal joints for farm equipment in the country. Such firms as International Harvester, Alice Chalmers, John Deere, Oliver Corporation, Minneapolis Moline, Caterpillar Tractor, and Massey Harris all use Blood Brothers universal joints. From a small factory employing 25 people 15 years ago, Blood Brothers has developed into a large industry, providing work for over 600 men and women today. Additions to the original plant have been built to provide plenty of light and ventilation, and the latest type of equipment has been purchased and installed. The basic materials used in making universal joints are forgings and bar steel. Blood Brothers receive forgings from three different forge plants, one in Lansing and two in Detroit. These forgings are trucked to Allegan on huge semi-trailer outfits. Bar stock and steel tubing come in by truck and rail. High precision has to be maintained on all machine operations. The visitor to the Blood Brothers plant sees a great many specialized machine tool operations, many being automatic in character. About 7 years ago, Blood Brothers factory workers were organized by the UAW-CIO. Every year since, a satisfactory contract between the company and the union has been negotiated without any work stoppages or strikes. The company maintains a cafeteria and a health center staffed by nurses. The company has an enviable safety record. The employees have established a credit union which makes unsecured loans up to $100 and serves as a depository for those wishing to save small sums out of each paycheck. In 1936, Blood Brothers became a wholly owned subsidiary of the Standard Steel Spring Company of Coriopolis, Pennsylvania. The parent company manufactures bumpers, leaf springs, and coil springs for the automotive industry and has six plants besides Blood Brothers. And now before we leave the air, I'd like to introduce to our listeners a couple of Blood Brothers employees who are with me here in the studio this evening. First, here's Dewey Kemp. What's your position with the company, Mr. Kemp?
Assistant purchasing agent.
Uh-huh. And what are your duties?
Oh, I buy tools and machinery.
What are some of the kinds of tools that you buy for Blood Brothers, Mr. Camp?
Drills, reamers, jigs, and fixtures.
Drills and reamers and all sorts of fixtures of that sort. How long did you say you had worked for Blood Brothers?
Approximately 27 years.
27 years, that's a long time. You came with the company then shortly after they came to Allegan?
That's right.
Have you a family, Mr. Kemp?
Yes, I have two daughters.
And did you tell me before the broadcast that both of them had at one time or another worked at Blood Brothers?
That's right. One of them works there now.
Does the company employ quite a few women?
Oh, very few now, since the war.
I suppose most of the people who work at Blood Brothers have to have quite a high degree of skill, do they not?
To a certain degree, yes.
You know, Mr. Kemp, I suppose you see a lot of the shop out there at Blood Brothers, and I've heard from a good many factories and shops in Western Michigan these days that there's been quite an exodus in the last week or 10 days for the men who go up deer hunting. Has that happened at your plant?
That's right.
There have been quite a few of your men who have gone.
Quite a few.
Have you heard from any of them? Have any of them had any luck?
Just one. Huey Bridgman claimed that he shot his deer 10 minutes after arriving in the woods.
That's a pretty good story, don't you think?
Yes, it is. From Huey.
Well, that's fine. We hope that all of them get back safe and sound from what we've been reading in the paper and hearing over the radio about casualties in the North Woods. One is a little bit worried about that sort of thing. Well, we're very happy to have had you with us, Mr. Kemp, and to have had a word from you to our radio listeners. And now I'd like to introduce our other guest, Mr. C.E. Wood of Blood Brothers, who is, I believe, sales manager. Is that right, Mr. Wood?
Well, so-called.
Why do you say so-called?
Well, I function in that position most of the time.
Who do you sell universal joints to?
Well, most of the farm machinery and several of the truck concerns of the larger, better-known trucks of the country.
You don't sell to dealers or jobbers, do you?
Very few sales made to dealers or jobbers. Most of ours is for original equipment that goes to the manufacturer of the truck or machine.
The company was pretty busy during World War II, wasn't it?
Very busy.
What were some of the things that you turned out universal joints for during the war?
Well, we made propeller shafts for the tanks. Some of them went to the British government. Some of them was for our own tanks that were made in this country and shipped across. We made joints for the plane carriers, for the elevator controls. Also joints for radar controls on battleships.
Well, that's certainly a wide range of contribution. Do you do any export business, Mr. Wood?
We have a little now that's developing very slowly.
Now, that's mainly farm machinery equipment?
That's farm machinery. Practically everything that goes out is for farm machinery.
Some of it goes to Europe?
Europe, Sweden, Holland, Switzerland, Norway. Some to Denmark.
Is there some tendency, you think, on the part of European agriculture to mechanize then?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been with the company, Mr. Wood?
29 and a half years.
I think perhaps your long experience with the company would enable you to know something about that car, the Carnelian, that we heard about.
That's right.
What did it sell for?
$438.
Did it have some features that would be interesting to our listeners?
Yes. In the much as it was a streamlined job far ahead of its day as far as automobiles are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And very easy riding and steering. It was very simple.
$438.
That was without accessories.
I
see.
Of course,
you put the starters and things on it, run the price up.
Now, I believe our time is just about up. This has been the story of Blood Brothers Machine Company of Allegan, an industry where you'll find Western Michigan at Work.
Western Michigan at Work will come to you again next Tuesday evening at the same time. We will take you at that time on a visit to the industries in Zeeland, Michigan. This has been another program presented in the public service by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.